Well, I want to thank you again all for coming out at night time. This is about 1.5 times our normal evening congregation, so it's lovely having you here. For those that have given their time and support to the school division, I really want to thank you. Thank you for coming, not just because it's made the conference a success, but thank you for catching the vision. It's not about our conference. It's not even about us as a congregation. It's about those people out there and how God is going to use you and I to touch them, to reach them. And we will be fulfilled. Let me tell you, we will be fulfilled. Remember that scripture I read this morning out of Isaiah 60. As we catch the vision, God will bless us and He will prosper us. Tonight, and I really thought it was going to be quick, and I sat down and I started to actually just take notes of what I believe the Lord has been saying to me. I'm going to work my way through it as quickly as I can, but we will record it. I'll even print it to make it available. Let's just sort my throat out. Did I put it off? So I said I was going to share what I believe God has spoken to us, prophetic promise to Christian Heritage Church. Today is the 20th of September, so I've been in office effectively for 20 days. Actually, 21 days. It's my 21st because I came into the office on the 31st of August. And I was ordained on the 30th of Cheryl and I. We were ordained on the 30th. And these first 20 days in office have been quite amazing. I've had to get used to a totally different way of working. It's very different coming in to the office and then going out and visiting people and going to a hospital and working with people. It's very different from going and sitting in front of a desk working with numbers and spreadsheets and pressure and deadlines. There's different pressures and there's different deadlines. And I'm only learning about it now. Okay, I have no clue. I thought, now what am I going to fill my days with? Let me tell you, they got filled very quickly. And with what the Lord's been saying to us, we're going to be a busy church. And I think a lot is going to be expected of us, but also a lot is going to be expected of the congregation. I was going to say you, but you might find it personal. But it needs to be personal, okay? Because God is calling us to a work. And that means it's not just the pastor. I've shared this before as I met with the leadership, and I think I spoke about it briefly the other day. But the pastor's role is not to go and reach everybody and evangelize the whole world. It's not the pastor's role. The pastor's role is a shepherd. I need to look after the sheep. Who's the sheep? We are the sheep. You're the sheep. I need to make sure that you are equipped so that you can go out and reach the lost. Now, as much as you've got a role to go and reach them, so have I. But my key role is to equip the church, to protect you, to feed you, to look after you, to make sure that you keep safe and that you grow. Your key role is to go and make disciples. Are we in agreement about that? Amen. So don't ever come to me and say, you're not doing your job, unless I'm not equipping you. Amen. And I believe that's what this whole weekend's about, been about, equipping the sheep. And I'm not saying that in an ugly way. The church is referred to, the congregation are known as the sheep of the pastor and even the lambs. All right, so it's very different. And earlier this week, I realized that I'm in the blessed position of getting up in the morning and enjoying going to work. Not everybody can say that. I'm doing something that my heart has desired for a long time. It's like, you know, those of us that have hobbies or sports, people would like to go and work in a model shop where they sell airplanes because this is different. It's wonderful. It gives you a sense of fulfillment. And if it gets tired and I go home and I'm exhausted, it doesn't matter. Tomorrow morning and get up. Monday morning, great. I can come to church. I'll waffle now. May God continue to bless me and Cheryl as we lead Christianity Teach Church. And I'm not saying that in a facetious way. Part of my role is to spend time in the Word and in prayer. Remember that the apostles needed to appoint deacons so that they could spend more time in prayer and in the Word. And I've been doing that as part of my existing quiet time. I've just extended it. And this is where the Lord has been leading me. So what you get tonight is what the Lord has showed me out of that. So I'm going to go straight into the Word. This is God's promise to Christian Heritage. It's a progressive promise. The first thing is that this is a property. This property that we are on is a property where God has chosen to place His name. During our preparation, and particularly over the last year, the Lord has taken me on several occasions to Joshua 1. And if you go and read, it's about Joshua getting ready to lead the Israelites. And in that scripture, it speaks many times of be strong and courageous. It also speaks about the people encouraging Joshua, the Lord encouraging Joshua, the leaders encouraging Joshua to be strong and courageous. That's what the Lord has said to me and to Cheryl. We must be strong and courageous. But on Wednesday, the 2nd of September, yeah, in this office, I had a quiet time and almost felt like the Lord was dialoguing with me, speaking with me through the Word. I'd read one verse and then I'd speak to Him and I'd read the next verse and it would be the answer. And Joshua 1 verse 2, the second half, in the New Living Translation, it says, therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people. And I felt the Lord was speaking directly to me. The Israelites, which I see as Christian Heritage, across the Jordan River, into the land I am giving them. So it was a command to me, but it was about something God is giving us as a church, giving you. It's my time to lead you, these people. It's an awesome responsibility. And I said, I don't want to be called senior pastor, I want to be called lead pastor. God has called me to lead. And it's my job to lead us into the promised land. And then if you drop down into Joshua 1 verse 6, it says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give to them. God promised me that He will use me to lead our congregation to possess what? The land. All of the land. All of the land. And that very day I realized, and I wrote down in my journal, I wrote down, and I just said, oh wow, all the land. But I wrote down, I need to go and speak to Pastor Pat. I need to contact him and say, what are the promises we've had over the years? Now many of us have been here for a long time and we know that what those promises are. And I'm not going to pull them out now, but I wanted to know. And I said to him, I don't want to just know the promises that we've received in your time. I want to know the promises we received before your time. Because that is all of the land. We've been focusing on the land, the promises we know. The latter glory will be greater than the former. There was a prophecy and it's like a light shining forth out of this church. And that we would be a lighthouse in Krugersdorp. Those are some of the words that have come over this church. But as we went back, he said that he was already on the board of the church when Reverend Gardner was looking for the property where this church was built. And one day, he took the board and they went from property to property. Properties that had been earmarked for the church to buy. And when they got to this prophecy, this property, there was a word that came out to say that this is the place upon which the Lord has chosen to place His name. This place, this property. And he continued to say it has been strategically selected. This property is a strategic property. God has put us here for a reason. And I thought about it, and I've spoken to you a little bit about it. You know, we've often said about this property, it's in the wrong side of town, things have changed, everybody, it's in town and everybody's moved out and it's not really the right place and it's not safe and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's all negative word. It's dead word which we've cut off. And I thought about it. You know, we're on one of the main arterials, one of the main roads that goes through Krugersdorp runs right down Leopard Street. It goes through a red light district, but that doesn't really matter. And coming across here, this road in front of us, this road joins two of the main arterials because there's Commissioner Street over there and Leopard Street here, and many people drive past. This property has got no buildings on that side. So when you drive past here, it's easy to see this property. You can see it from a distance. It stands out. God has chosen this place strategically, and it hasn't changed. It, just because this property was bought 50 years ago, doesn't matter. It hasn't changed. God's plan remains the same today. That's what the Lord was saying. All of the promises. He chose this place to put His name. It will remain here. I want you to take note. Don't fade now. This, I'm just beginning. This is the place. The Lord has said, it's my role to lead us into to claim all of the land, all of the promises that He's promised our ancestors, that those that came before us, many of them have passed on. He's going to give it to us. And we need to pray about that. God has chosen to place His name on this property. And then on the 14th of September, I felt the Lord leading me to start reading in the book of Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah was the great rebuilder. He helped them rebuild the walls of Israel, of Jerusalem. And I found the scripture, and I believe it's a reconfirmation that we are still strategically placed, as I said earlier on. In Nehemiah 1 verse 9, I don't know if you've got your Bibles, but turn there if you can. It's a confirmation, but it comes with a condition. It says this, "But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back," look at this, "to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored." God said He will bring us back, but there's a condition. We must return to Him. We must be obedient. We must obey His commandments and live by them. Remember the word that came out this morning. God called us to holiness. Next month is the month of sanctification and consecration, separation to God. We must live by the word of God. Not just say it, not just believe it. We must be doers of the word. We must live it out. If you do that, then I will even bring those, even if they've been exiled all over the world, I'll bring them back to this place where I've chosen for my name to be honored. Now, He hasn't just placed His name here, but He's chosen that His name will be honored in this place. Isn't that amazing? But there's a condition. And then He took me to the next level. On Friday, this past Friday, the 18th of September, the day of the conference begin, I did my Bible reading in the morning and nothing seemed to jump out. And I like it. I like to journalize something. I need to say, this is what the Lord has said to me today or showed me today. So I asked the Lord to give me a very special word. And He took me to the theme for the conference. He took me to Isaiah 60 and 61. Those are the two books or chapters that I felt I must go and read. So I went and read them. And in Isaiah 60 verse 1, please turn there with me, because we're going to stay there now. It says, "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see." This is what God is calling us to do. "Arise, Christian Heritage, let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine." This is our day. God's glory has risen to shine upon us. "Darkness as black as night covers the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises to appear over you." His glory, His Shekinah, is shining down upon us. And don't see this as empty words. This is the word of God. This isn't just what I've sucked out. This is where the Lord led me. This scripture speaks of restoration and protection, even in the darkness of the world that we live in. His protection is upon us. His glory is upon us. And we will shine. And then it carries on in verse 3. It says, and I've broken down verse by verse what I felt the Lord has said. "All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance." This is a promise of people that will be drawn to the light that is shining forth from this place. It says, people will be drawn to your radiance. That means we are going to reflect. But we don't have any radiance of our own. Do you remember Friday night's message? We don't have the light. We need the light. We need to be in the light so that we can reflect the light. All nations will be drawn to us from all over the world. Do you know that God can start a revival? Yeah, that people will fly from overseas to come and see what He's doing. And it's not out of line with the word. There's a word over Krugersdorp. There's a revival that will start here in Krugersdorp. An old prophecy. People can come from all over. I have big dreams, church. But I believe that God is speaking to us. It can start here in Christian Heritage. Look and see verse 4. "For everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands, and your little daughters will be carried home." I shared about Brandon and Janae coming back to the church, and Janae, she's no youngster, I won't tell her age, because if she was here, she'd give me a smack. But she was saying, when I was 10 years old, Dania, in the chapel, we started in the children's church, Cheryl and I was 21. And you can work it back now. I was 21. I couldn't believe it. A woman of her age, back in the church, that we've ministered to. And Shirley and I've been praying, Lord, where are all those that we've ministered to over the years? Whose lives we've sown into, whether it be in the youth or in the children's church. And then, yes, it's Pete. Okay, he was in the church a number of years ago, 20 years ago, Pete. And he went to a different nation. He went to Botswana. God has brought him back. He's been around for a while. But I saw that as just a confirmation that God is bringing the people back from all over the place. The ministry that we've done, the people are coming back. God is sending people. See it for what it is. Brandon, I trust you guys are good back for good. Otherwise, I'm sucking my thumb. Okay, now you're in trouble. Look at them. They're sitting together. That's just another confirmation. As jy loop, gaan ek jou warm slaap. I'm just joking. This is where I cried. Thank you, Lord. I couldn't help myself. It's a confirmation of Nehemiah 1 verse 9 where it says, and I read it earlier on, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back. The scripture is confirming the scripture, which is confirming what the Lord has said to us. He's bringing the people back. We need to pray for it daily. Lord, bring them back. Those that have been touched. What about their children? What about their grandchildren? Bring them in. We're praying for young families with children. Amen. Our congregation is aged. We need some young children in. We need teenagers in. We need 20-somethings and 30-somethings and 40-somethings and 50-somethings in and the rest. Amen. God is busy bringing the people back. Then verse 5. Your eyes will shine and your heart will thrill with joy. For merchants from around the world will come to you. They will bring you the wealth of many lands. And I shared it this morning for the offering. It's a time to rejoice. As we shine for the Lord, God is going to bring His provision. He's going to send finances from all over the world. Now you may say, I'm thinking pie in the sky, but I really believe He spoke to me. He's going to send finance. Doesn't mean you must stop tithing, eh? Well, let them tithe. No. Those in this, you will bring this tithe to the storehouse. There where you get fed. Amen? And I want to encourage you, those that like to send their money all over the place. That's not your storehouse. This is your storehouse. But God will bring them in. As we allow our light to shine, God will give us what we need. It's going to take money to do what we've got to do. We need to think about printing checks. We need to think about, you know, the cost of sending emails and SMSs, and I still am looking for a graphic designer so we can print something really that'll excite people as they ride past and see it and say, we must go and see what's happening there. But all of that can cost money. You know, we're reaching to the ends of the earth through the daily email that goes out, the email blessing. Who says that God can't stir up some hearts? Number one, to come and see what's going on here, but number two, to bless us financially. So I believe He will bring His provision and prosperity, not just to the church, but to us as a congregation. What about the business people in this church? Can't God send people in from all over, from Africa, from all nations, and bless your business? God can do that. Richard, that's exactly what you need. Amen. Even Karen, the other business people, yeah. God can bless you. And then moving along, if you carry on reading Isaiah 60 verse 69, it continues to speak about God's provision. And then Isaiah 60 verse 14 to 15. The descendants of your tormentors will come and bow before you. Those who despised you will kiss your feet. They will call you the city of the Lord and Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Though you were once despised and hated, with no one traveling through you, I will make you beautiful forever, a joy to all generations. And I said, what does this mean? Even those who spoke out against us will come back and see what God is doing. Those that had negative things to say about Christian heritage, God is going to bring them back. And they're going to see and they won't be able to deny it. They'll have to admit it. Though people once thought that we were a church that was failing, and we had very few visitors and new people, this is going to change. This is going to change. It says here, though you were once despised and hated with no one traveling through you, I believe God is going to bring the travelers back in. People are going to come to see what's going on and they're going to lay down roots here. God will bring them in. People will love Christian heritage. And you know what it says? A joy to all generations. We're going to become a church for all generations. Now this is a lot. We're going to be a church. Isn't that exciting, youth? A church for all generations. We want this to be a place where children love to come, where youth loves to come, where elderly love to come, where families love to come, and God can do that for us. And then verse 20 to 21, Your sun will never set, your moon will not go down, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. The days of your mourning will come to an end. All your people will be righteous. They will possess their land forever, for I will plant them there with my own hands in order to bring myself glory. This speaks of God's continual presence in our midst. I believe He's going to carry this new move of His Spirit through that He's bringing into the church from now until He comes again. And He's coming soon. It can happen. It doesn't need to be for a year or a month or 6 months. It can be for 20 or 30 or 50 years, whatever it takes. Who believes that? But it continues to say this. It says, you will possess your land forever. It's a continuation of Joshua 1 verse 6. What did I say? To possess all of the land. In one verse, it says here, they will possess their land forever. That speaks about us as a congregation. What the Lord has given us, we will possess. The enemy's not going to be able to rob it from us anymore. He's stolen a lot from this people, a lot from this congregation. If you look around, it used to be full. This building had everything it needed. The enemy's robbed us, but it's coming back. We need to believe Him. This God will do to bring Himself glory. It's not for our glory. It's not so we can say, oh, look how good we are. It's to bring glory to God. And Isaiah 60 verse 22, the smallest family will become 1,000 people, and the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, the Lord will make it happen. He has a promise of exponential growth. We've been averaging between 60 and 80 people on a Sunday. A fairly small congregation. So it says the smallest family, we're a family. The smallest family will become 1,000 people. I shared with the leaders Psalm 144. It's our dream. It's our goal. It speaks there of the flocks numbering thousands and tens of thousands. You look around and say, how can it be? With God, nothing's impossible. Amen? This small family can multiply 1,000. We can be there in the space of a year, 2 years, if we trust this word of God. As we honor God and obey Him and live out His word, we will see a multiplication taking place. We mustn't be surprised if we see people from all over the world coming here to see what God is doing. And then the second part was Isaiah 61. God's call carries His anointing. Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 2. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives were released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against the enemy. This is our mission. You see, with the call to shine and be a light, He's given us a mission. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us. For the Lord has anointed us to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent us to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim to the that captives will be released and prisoners will be free. He has sent us to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against His enemies. In other words, those who stand against it, God will judge. We don't have to worry about it. This is our mission. His anointing will come. The Spirit of the Lord God has come upon me, for He has anointed me. We will walk in His authority. It says, He has sent me. When you've been sent by God, you go in His authority, not in your own strength. People will be saved, healed, delivered, and set free. That is what I believe the word of the Lord has given to us. And then finally, Isaiah 61 verse 7. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. How's that for pulling it all together? Instead of shame and dishonor, no longer the struggling church that's got a beautiful building that's empty at the end of Von Brandes Street. God will bless us. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share. Talks of the double portion anointing. Double portion anointing. You will possess a double portion of prosperity. Remember what I said? As we shine for the Lord, He will prosper us. We will have a double portion. In our land, this is the land the Lord has promised us, all the land. And everlasting joy, we will have joy, church. Because in the midst of this, we might face struggles, we might face difficulties, but God will give us joy. That is what the word of the Lord is. So our time of shame is over. We have a promise of restoration. We will flow in the double portion, both in the spiritual and in the natural. God will grant us joy everlasting. That is, and I wasn't meant to preach it, but it came out quite a lot of word. That is the word. I'm going to have this printed out. I'll just pull out a bit of the personal stuff. Can you identify with that? Can you see it's a word from, it's not something that I've conjured up inside of me. It's what I believe the Lord has led me into. And I find it quite amazing, you know. It's actually a massive privilege to have the Lord using me as his vessel. Humbly I come and I say, wow, Lord, why did you choose me? But he chose me. But he chose us as a congregation. This is not just about me. It's not just about Cheryl. Not just about the leadership of the church. It's about what we can do as a congregation. He's chosen us. We are his special generation, his special people. We've all got a role to play. And as we do it, this is a mouthful that I've shared with you tonight, but we will enter his prosperity and we will claim all of the promises and all of the land he's given to us. Are you excited about that? Can we give the Lord praise? Hallelujah. Amen. So now what we're going to do is what I said we're going to do. We're going to anoint our people and ask the worship team to come and stand down in front of me.